Welcome to the Tiger Mike Sports Show podcast, where sports is life. Here are your hosts, Tiger Mike Ingram and J.R. Durin.
Welcome to the Tiger Mike Sports Show podcast. I wish we did this live over the video. Hopefully one day we can maybe do it over Facebook Live, but I wish you can see JR rocking out when that intro music comes on. It's pretty awesome. So it's been a while. How's it going, JR?
Oh, Tiger Mike, what can I say? One, I'm very thankful that there haven't been any hurricanes coming across Florida. Two, I made the mistake of getting into a Twitter war over bat flips and showmanship. And three, I'm happy to be here on a Monday night with Tiger Mike, man.
Monday
night.
As always. It's always fun to have you. Yes. You got to actually tell us that story. I got an interesting story to tell you on what happened in Atlanta when I was with hanging out with our good friend Justin Spike Wade.
Oh, Dirty South, man. Yeah, dirty stories from the Dirty South.
Dirty South. So Spike picks me up from the airport. It was pretty late. It was like 9 o'clock, I think, in the evening. So we drive on the way back to his house. He lives near a Steak and Shake.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Southern institution for good shakes late at night.
And the burgers. Yeah, the steak burger. So we order. So this older lady takes our order. We're obviously going through the drive-thru. So then she tells us to pull up. So we pull up, and there's another guy in front of us who had to pull up too. Then we were sitting there, you know, 10 minutes go by. We're like, oh, I wonder what's going on. 20 minutes go by. We're like, what the heck is going on? Then 30 minutes go by. And I'm like, this is getting ridiculous. So I get out of the car. I go inside and they say, where's our food? And they have no idea what happened to our food. I think they might have gave it to like someone else because it was weird. There were cars that were behind us that were getting their food right away. And him and I just ordered two things. And then the guy in front of us who had to pull forward too, he didn't get his food. He just drove away because I went and talked to the manager. The manager was not apologetic. First, he wouldn't, you know, give me my money back. And it was like bad customer service. And the food sucked. I woke up like at 3 a.m. My stomach hurt. And then Spike said he didn't feel well in the morning either. So,
wow. Tiger Mike just in the South.
Yeah. And Steak and Shake, it used to be, well, it still is. Maybe it's just that branch or that, you know, that area. That normally Steak and Shake and In-N-Out are like 1A and 1B as my favorite, you know, burgers, but at least that one in that area, we're not going back there again.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, did you get to see part of the town? I mean, was it a redeeming experience
the following few
days?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. We stayed near actually the Atlanta Braves Stadium. I stayed at the hotel near there. We got to go. So that's called the Battery. They have a lot of shops and sports bars and food stops. I went to the Wahlberger place, Donnie Wahlberg. I think he has a show on HBO, him and his brother. I don't know if I don't have HBO, so I don't know if it's what they call the show, but supposedly that Wahlbergers is always in that show. So the burgers weren't bad. They were pretty good.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And that Battery area where the Atlanta Braves Stadium is SunTrust, it's a nice area. It's a good area. They have like condos and apartments. I wouldn't mind living there. They're a nice, nice little area. You can walk to the ballpark, you know, 2 minute walk. So yeah, it was good being in the South. Didn't get any sweet tea though. I went to the Waffle House like at 1 a.m.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I mean, that's pretty much half the battle of becoming a true Southerner.
Yeah. It's just the Denny's of the South, I guess. Cause yeah, they,
whoa. How dare you, sir? How dare you? Not even close. Okay. Not even close.
Well, like I said, the waffles were okay. The egg, like I said, it's just generic breakfast. It was good because I didn't eat because I was at a conference and we had all the introductions and all that stuff and I didn't, and they had like crappy food, so I didn't want to eat it. Well, it was hotel food. It wasn't the conference's fault. It was just the hotel. So we were just so busy. Then I was like, oh, it's midnight. So I walked to the Waffle House. This is my second time going there. It's good. But like I said, to me, it's just, it's the Denny's of the South.
Okay, well, the first mistake is that you left a place with crappy food to go to Waffle House. Okay, so that's not always, but here's the thing. When you go to Waffle House, you have to go hash browns, chunked, and covered. That's it, man.
They're the stuffed hash browns, right? They're the stuffed ones. They have like all the like sour cream, bacon, well, your choice of meat, bacon, cheese. Then I had the waffles and I had the eggs. Yeah, it was like the all-star breakfast, or it's kind of like the home run. What do they call that, Denny's? The $2.99, are you out of your mind? What do they call that?
Oh, home run trio triple.
Something like that. Okay. Yeah. So
here's just for you and for everyone else listening. Go to Waffle House, order a double hash browns, double chunked, double covered. Translation, two hash browns covered in chunks of ham and melted American cheese slices. Yes. It's the best thing that you will ever eat.
That's what
ever
I,
at
that,
one in the
that's
morning.
What I got. Yeah, that's what I got. That was pretty good. But, okay. But
all right, there you go.
Yeah, like I said, the eggs and then got my orange juice. Yeah, it was good. So what's...
I mean, it's great.
Yeah, it is. It's if you're hungry, and maybe too bad they didn't have one at State, because obviously they had Los Panchos, as we talked with Omar Ruiz from the NFL Network. There was a lot of good places around, but they didn't have like a good breakfast place that was nearby. You had to drive, was it down 70th to go to Denny's? That was probably the closest. And DZ Akins was good, but they weren't open 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, Waffle House is the just the quintessential meeting place of highbrows, lowbrows, everyone in between, yep, coming to eat greasy, simple food that is just so delicious and yet is so down to earth, you know?
And it's down in your stomach full of grease, too.
Well, that too, but I mean, that's just kind of a side effect.
Yeah, of course. Well,
that's like in the 50s, yep, when they thought smoking was good for you, you know?
Yeah. Well, if it's not greasy, then it's not good. And like the Carl Jr. Commercial, but it's not all over the place. It doesn't belong in your face.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, it's true, man. So, okay. Well, yeah, I was thinking like, oh, I should go up and see you guys, but yeah. I just didn't have time, man.
Yeah,
I ended up going... When you guys were there on Saturday, I ended up going to the local dog track.
Oh, really? How did that go?
Yeah, first time. It's called the poker room is called Best Bet, but it's Orange Park Kennel Club, and so it was the first time I'd ever been to a dog track, and it's weird. I told my wife it was like walking into a mix between a hospital waiting room and a DMV. It just kind of had like this weird, like dingy, sad feel to it. But, you know, like I got there like half an hour early. So what they do is like you go when you find a seat outside or inside or in the grandstand. And then they let you know when the races are going to start. And they show you video of dogs like going up onto like sort of like a platform until you see the dog. And this is all happening like in the building somewhere, like with cameras. And then they bring the dogs out and they walk them the full length of the home stretch. And they take them to the gates, and then all the guys that walk the dogs up there run all the way back down to the opposite side, and then the rabbit comes around and they chase it. And I thought, you know, like this is my coming of age Goodwill Hunting moment, like watching the greyhounds, you know.
Oh, so they were just greyhounds. They didn't have any like dachshunds or other types of dogs racing.
No. Terrier races were like later in the day, but I couldn't make that. So
okay.
I hung around for the greyhounds. I watched like three or four races, man. And mm-hmm. I mean, to be honest with you, it's a pretty depressing place. But if you ever want to go somewhere and just kind of hang out and read a book and phantom pick greyhounds, it's the way to go, man. It's a very relaxing Saturday.
Did you actually bet on a certain dog, number four?
No. I couldn't bring myself to do it because I thought it was a foolish use of money. Mm-hmm. But what I did do is like phantom pick. So like, you know, they walk the dogs in front of everyone. And so I looked at the dogs, kind of how they walked, like Seabiscuit style, you know, just kind of like the trainer, just looking at the dogs. And I thought, okay, I think that one's going to do good. Uh-huh. To be honest with you, man, I had a dog in the top three for like every race that I picked. I had one winner, I had one second place and one third place. Would have had two first places, but my dog got tangled up coming around the turn to the final stretch. And I ended up being second place.
Ah, bummer. So was there any type of controversy with that going around that corner? Did they tangle legs? Did another dog push the other one? What happened there?
They were like coming around the corner, and there was a tangling of legs. A couple dogs stumble, but it's, you know, they just keep running, man, and that's it. Like, yeah, they So my pup, he overcame the mistake, but he didn't take the win. Yeah, so and obviously all this is hypothetical. Uh-huh. So, I tend to tighten up a little bit when I put money on something, and I don't make the same choices I would if I was picking them arbitrarily without any financial ramifications.
Yeah, that's definitely understandable because you want the dog to win, and you want it, you know, is it really worth it? But yeah. So what else is going on in Jacksonville?
You know what? It's an exciting time to be a Jags fan, which I'm not, but I'm coming around to the idea of it because they're not 0-6. Yep. So that's always a good sign for the fans here. I believe they're 3-3 now. They split.
They lost to the Rams. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's cool. The Jacksonville Icemen started their inaugural season 2 days ago, Saturday night. Hung out with some local tobacco pipe smokers here.
Ooh.
And yeah. And I tried my first 2 liter of Coke Zero Sugar. And just as a newsflash, it's different than Coke Zero, but it's just still not as good as Coke.
Yeah. Well, you got to explain that to me. So it's Coke Zero. So it had, but it has sugar. That's like an oxymoron.
No. It's the, like, okay, there's Coke Zero and Coke, right? Yeah. So then they launched this thing called Coke Zero Sugar.
It's like zero. I mean, zero sugar. It has zero sugar.
I don't know why they rebranded it, but.
Oh, it's the same thing. Okay. It's the same thing. It's just, they just added the zero sugar to it.
Well, it's more like Coke Zero, but they changed the recipe. So it's not Coke Zero, but it's not Coke and it's not Diet Coke. So I guess they just called it Coke Zero Sugar. So it just, it tastes a little lighter and a little crispier than the Coke Zero, but it definitely does not taste like Coke. So I would say pass on it. Stick with the real Coke.
You might as well. Well, at least drink Coke that has real sugar because your body breaks down real sugar better than the high corn fructose syrup that's in most sodas. That's what I buy. I buy real sugar Dr. Pepper. That stuff's the best in the bottle. Yeah.
Oh, the kind with like cane sugar in it?
Yeah, it's like throwback. It's kind of like everyone knows throwback Pepsi, but this is called, it used to be Heritage Dr. Pepper, but I don't think they sell it, or most places in the United States don't have that. I think they just stopped selling it here in Phoenix, but it's called the Mexican Dr. Pepper because the it's made in Mexico because they use real sugar. Same with like the Coke, the Hecho in Mexico. You know, you see the bottles in the store. They're made, the sugar Coke's made in Mexico. I think it's the same thing, but I think the distributors whoever distributes Dr. Pepper here in Phoenix, it's not due anymore. So I bought a bunch of them. Now I'm almost running out, which is kind of sad, but I try to drink 2 a week.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. No. In other news, Tiger Mike is starting up a GoFundMe so he can round up all the remaining Heritage Dr. Pepper in the country.
So if you guys find some, you can send it to me because I have hashtag first world problems. Maybe I need to go to rehab for Dr. Pepper, but real sugar Dr. Pepper. But yeah, hashtag first world problems.
Yeah.
Now, oh, yeah. Tell us a little bit about your pipe group.
Okay. So as some of you know, I used to live in Barcelona, Spain with my wife, who is beautiful, and my kid, who is beautiful. So my beautiful wife and kids. And we moved back to the U.S. And I thought, like, okay, well, now that we're back in the U.S., I want to do things that I've always wanted to do that I never did. One of those was smoking pipes. So so basically what you have is like a pipe that is made with a very strong wood that is resistant to heat. And you have a bunch of tobaccos. They're all different kinds, different types, kind of like wine. And each has its own flavor, and you just, you know, you pack the pipe, you light it, you smoke it. And so it's a very solitary thing though. Like, unless you're in a place that has a lot of pipe smokers, which is not always common, like it's kind of like a solo kind of enterprise. You know what I mean? So
it's good for introverts.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you sit on your back porch, you smoke your pipe. It takes like 45 minutes. And then you're done. But I talked with a bunch of guys on Reddit in the pipe community there. I found some guys in Jacksonville. So I started a Facebook group and we had our first meeting a couple days ago, one of the local breweries. And it was a good time, man.
Nice.
Got together. I mean, These guys are like prodigious pipe smokers and tobacco connoisseurs. Like they have all the knowledge and like, so they were just sharing with me all the stuff that they learn. And it was pretty cool, man. So it's less douchey, I guess you could say, than smoking a cigar. You also don't get all that exposure to the tobacco, because like you're actually with a cigar, you got the leaf and it's in your hands, it's in your mouth, it's on your teeth. And pipe smoking just kind of cuts all that out. And then it doesn't have all the crazy chemicals that are in a cigarette. So yeah, to me, it's the healthiest form of a possibly cancerous habit.
Yeah. Well, it is tobacco regardless, but yeah. Have you ever tried the argili hookah?
No, I have not.
I've tried that. Yeah, I have a lot of Middle Eastern friends, so that, obviously that's part of their culture. So yeah, that's, I do it once in blue moon, but when I do it, it's kind of fun. You sit there and they put those hot coals on top, and the flavored ones are actually, they taste good, just the different types of flavors they have.
Yeah. No, it's an enjoyable experience. The thing I like about cigars and pipes and hookah in general is it's very communal.
Yeah.
You know, like it's good for guys to sit around, women to sit around and smoke together. Although pipes tend to be less social than that, but you know, it's kind of cool, man.
Yeah, it is. All right. Well, thanks for joining the Tiger Mike Sports Show podcast. We're happy that you can join us. So these are your trending sports stories of the week. So we got Colin Kaepernick files grievance against the NFL for collusion. Ezekiel Elliott's injunction is lifted, but the NFL Players Association files a restraining order to again block his suspension. Next, Aaron Rodgers. Discount double check. Breaks his collarbone. I wonder if he got health insurance through State Farm. I wonder if they do health insurance. I think they're just auto insurance. But yeah, so he breaks his collarbone. Deshaun Watson is balling it out. A rookie is balling it out. And even Mitchell Trubisky had a decent game. I think there's four NFL rookies starting now, because the 49ers plays Brian Hoyer with CJ Beathard too. So yeah, so then you got Kaiser on the Browns. So a bunch of rookies are starting this year. And the Cubs and the Dodgers in the NLCS. We had some deja vu maybe for some of you older Dodger fans with Justin Turner's walk-off three run. Jack is similar to a certain player that hit one 29 years ago at Dodger Stadium. So we'll talk about that. And if we still have some time, we will talk about a golfer who has an interesting story that JR picked on. So those are your trending sports stories of the week. So yeah. So let's get to it. So Colin Kaepernick files a grievance against the NFL for collusion. And from my reading, the NFL Players Association is going to support him, but they didn't know about it till it came out in the public.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's got his own lawyer that is not part of the NFL Players Association. And some of the quotes that were posted on ESPN and some other prominent websites were pretty good. But just reading through it myself, man, this line really stood out to me. The NFL and its owners have colluded to deprive Mr. Kaepernick of employment for the purpose of making him an example to other players of the repercussions of challenging the NFL power paradigm, even by peaceful protest. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's interesting because I think I read something too, is if this goes through, then they can just throw out the whole collective bargaining agreement. So I wonder if that's the case, then I wonder what's going to happen if they have to throw out the whole collective of bargaining agreement, because then they might have to go on strike. So that actually be very interesting. Number two, see, this is going to be tough for Kaepernick because he has to have evidence of collusion. It has to be an email, a recorded conversation or something from an NFL team owner or an NFL team, because I was reading, because by no means am I a legal expert, even though I like to debate and argue. My dad has always told me, you should have been a lawyer. I'm like, yeah, but then you have to go to law school, take, you know, go into a bunch of debt, so I can just argue for free with you and other friends. And so it's going to be hard for Cap to, unless he has evidence that we do not know about, maybe his lawyers have one of those things, whether it's an email, recorded call, or someone you know, churned one of these NFL owners in. So yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if that's the case, because you can't prove otherwise that people, even though, yeah, on the outside it looks like he's being blackballed or people are not picking him because of his, you can make that argument that NFL owners are not signing him because of his political stance. But I think that's going to be hard to prove in the court of law unless you have some type of evidence.
Okay, so and that's a good point. And here's what they say. They don't in the grievance, they don't give any evidence, but they say that NFL general managers and team leaders have referred to directives from NFL owners to not let Mr. Kaepernick so much as practice with the team. Mm-hmm. Okay, but like earlier, I mean they even accuse the NFL owners of taking these directives from the president himself.
Yeah, but you still have to provide evidence for that. Like how can you prove that in a court of law? By a tweet? That's you can make that claim or that hypothesis, but that's kind of hard to prove though. How would you prove that?
Well, I don't know. And that's the thing. Like there's really not any concrete statements that say we have evidence that, you know, they've done this. And of course, I'm sure the legal process has various steps that you go through. And, you know, I mean, eventually what's going to happen is there's going to be discovery, at which point Kaepernick's lawyers, I'm sure, are going to bring forth the evidence that they have. Yep. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I'm sure there are various forces going on, because as we've talked about on this very show, NFL players are pissed off that basketball players are getting a bunch of money, right?
Mm-hmm. And getting more money.
Yeah. The argument is like, hey guys, you know, you guys bargained for this agreement, so that's what you get. You should have done something when you were making your negotiations. So now that you bring up that point about the CBA, it's like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe they have something to gain that has nothing to do with Kaepernick's stance, but both of them can benefit, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And that, like I said, that'd be interesting for somehow it does go through the legal process. Then they throw out the collective bargaining agreement. But, you know, I was just reading over the article. These are some things that are not obviously collusion. Collusion obviously requires cooperation between teams, whether it be a team or multiple owners in the league. As I said before, Kaepernick needs evidence, which I do not think he has, unless he's, you know, waiting for the right time to show that. This is all speculation. Kaepernick is maybe better than some other quarterbacks currently in the NFL backups, which is true, but that's not collusion. Proving that owners or team officials are racially insensitive, that's not collusion. Proving that owners are colluding with Trump, that's not collusion because they don't have proof. What else is there? Cap opting out of his contract with the 49ers, that's not collusion because they were going to cut him anyway. It's because he wanted to hit the free agent market earlier. Cap turning down free agent offers is not collusion. I think those are the main things for collusion. You can't base collusion on those things. Or Cap wants you know, millions of dollars, but the teams don't want to sign him. You know, he wants to be a starter. That's not collusion.
Well, that's true. And I don't know how these collusion cases work. Yeah. Maybe there is circumstantial evidence. If that's the case, then you can probably make a good case that the circumstances indicate that there had to be some sort of systematic effort to keep him out. But, you know, like you said, man, it all goes back to evidence. And I'd be interested to see what they say. Because, look, if, in fact, the NFL owners were influenced by the president, there's a lot of people that hate the president. There's a lot of skilled hackers that hate the president.
Yep.
And I'm sure that documents could leak at just the right time.
Yeah.
If the defense plays their cards right, and or the if Kaepernick's lawyers play their cards right, man.
Yeah, it could be like the presidential election out of nowhere. Oh, here we go. We have this email between whatever owner and with the president, or owner and Roger Goodell saying, don't, you know, I'm not saying he did this. This is just all speculation on my part or hypotheticals. Roger Goodell sends out email to all 32 NFL owners, do not sign Kaepernick. Yeah, that's always a possibility.
But see, the thing is, I don't think Goodell is going to be in on this, because he's a lawyer, man. Like, how I think that he would try and stay away from it, but I don't know.
Yeah, but knowing him though, he likes to be power. He likes to be in charge. He likes to be in the, you know, front and center of everything. So who knows? That's he likes to be the man.
That's true. That's true. I mean, and there, it's not that I have anything wrong. There's not, there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. But like I said, he's knowing that guy likes to be the center of attention. So if that is hypothetically true, then he probably does have, has his finger in it somehow. Because he, well, he just sent out that directive that he would like, even though they can't force the players, he'd like the NFL players to stand for the national anthem. So that tells me right there is that there's been a couple articles that the NFL is losing money. They're losing viewers and losing money. So, you know, there's evidence right there that he wants, you know, he's going to try to get that money back. Essentially, he wants to be in charge to make sure that, you know, the brand, the shield is not affected.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a part that's very disappointing about this, but it's also just the facts is that it's a business. They need to make money. Yep. They start losing money, then they need to make something change. But the problem with that is that it means that your morality and your views and your opinions are all based on how much money you're making. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
I mean, as a league, hey, it was cool to speak out against domestic violence, right? Mm-hmm. Well, because they decided to, and they made a campaign out of it, and everybody likes it. So, hey, okay. We obviously can make some money off of this while we're standing up for a good cause. So let's do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, well, we can't really make any money off of Kaepernick or any of these players that are kneeling, but, you know, like we want to not be seen as a-holes who are telling all the players, like, you can't express yourself, and, but we're going to lose money. So, okay, everyone stand.
Yeah. We want you to stand.
Wait, hey, okay, so here's something that we haven't talked about yet. Is Jerry Jones coming out saying, okay, I said that all the players needed to stand or they would sit, but I was only doing that
to be the bad guy. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And shift the ship. So, I mean, that could be true.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an a-hole thing to do just to be, you know, the bad guy.
It is.
So what do you think?
But
he just...
I don't know. Well, you know what would be the most interesting thing is if Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, if he's not suspended or another player... Dez Bryant or anyone on his offensive line, the good offensive linemen, if they kneel, I would bet, I don't know how much, but I'm pretty sure he would not bench those players. I'll call his bluff.
Oh yeah. I would call his bluff too, but there had to be some discussion behind back doors that said, like, or behind closed doors, like, you guys are not sitting, and I'm going to say this, and you guys are not sitting. Mm-hmm. And if you do sit, you know, this and this. If you don't, then this is what we'll do for you. You know, I don't know. But
yeah, that's the interesting thing. But, well, you hate to say it, but it is a business. And since he is the owner, he has the right to do it because it is a private business. It's a business he owns. So, you know, whether it's morally or ethically right or wrong, he has the power to do that because he owns the team. Will he go through with it? I will call his bluff. You know, half America would say, yeah, do it. And then the other half America would say, no, that's BS. You know, prove it. Yeah, let's see Dak and Zeke and Bryant and then his offensive line, Witten, do it. He won't bench him. There's no way he's going to bench him.
Yeah, well said. I mean, that's the truth. And so now, look, now you have the owners who don't want players to kneel because they don't want to lose money. Then you have all the Americans out there who don't want the players to kneel because they feel like it's disrespectful to the troops and, you know, whatever adjectives they use. Okay. And then on the other side, now you have the lawyers presenting Cap as the guy who is fighting against a very powerful organization that is trying to send a message to basically all black football players that you will not protest. And if you do, we are going to screw you over, kind of a thing. And they're bringing in like Trump. So now the defense is not only having the players that stand with Cap and the civil rights activists and all that, but then they're bringing in anti-Trumpers. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like the sides are starting to form in this battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're making it, you know, super political. And if Cap goes through with this, I was reading as well, is there's probably chances of him coming back, to even though it's very low now because no one is signing him. But if he goes through with this, he can kiss his NFL career goodbye because now he's causing issue and drama, and no team's going to want that. Now, if you're going to sue me, you know, with no proof of you thinking of collusion, then why do I want, you know, this distraction? Anything you know, essentially anything that the team does wrong, they're going to be worried that he's going to cry foul. And so he's going to be too much of a headache and no one's going to sign him.
Yeah. And though, here's the thing though, like at that point, for all those people who are skeptical about why he's doing it, you know, oh, he just wants the attention, or, you know, his career is washed up, so now he's trying to figure out something else to do. I mean, this is definitely a critical point, because if he goes through with it, then it's very clear that he doesn't care about his career.
Yeah, he's like, that you're right. You make a great point. It's, he doesn't care about football anymore. He cares about his stance, I guess, you know, his platform, you know, what he's fighting for. And yeah, and that tells you right there, he's not interested in football. He wants to focus, because that's what everyone's been telling him. Come out and do an interview. And do you still, because I read last week, they said, oh yeah, he's training every day to be a football player. But since now he's going through with this, you know, at least from my interpretation and my opinion, he doesn't care about football anymore. He wants to go down this route of educating people on the social injustices, you know, of people of color and of minorities in the United States.
Yeah. So it's a good point, man. And we'll see what happens with all this. But, you know, it's obviously, since the beginning, it's been about more than football. Mm-hmm. And I think this is another major step in that. I think the first major step was him doing it. Second major step was this year, players doing it, you know, from the start of the season up until Trump's comment, which is the third season of this.
Yep.
And now this is going to be the fourth season.
Yeah.
So it's a very long symphony, man. And we're in the fourth movement of many movements of the world's longest NFL battle with one player. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it's crazy.
He's the scapegoat. Well, even with the players, like, oh, he should be in the league. Okay. Well, put your money where your mouth is. Go on strike. Offer your paycheck, you know, to help. Obviously he made plenty of money with the 49ers, and he's giving money. He doesn't have a charitable foundation, but he gives his own personal money, which I think that's great. He's putting his money where his mouth is by giving, you know, different organizations over $1 million spread out. But, you know, these players are like, oh, he should be on a team. Then, okay, well, put your money where your mouth is, go on strike for him, or give him, you know, donate some money to his cause. But these players aren't going to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. What if this week the Packers, okay, because Kaepernick is from Milwaukee, what if they go Rudy style and one by one, they go into the coach's office and lay down the jersey? Huh? How about that?
Oh yeah. That could be a possibility. But like I said, I would highly doubt those players are going to leave their game checks on the line, throw them away, essentially lose it for one player. I could be wrong, but you know, money talks, and you know what else walks, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. But you never know. Maybe they'll realize that the Packers, which we'll get to later, because obviously a certain player who might be the best quarterback in the league, you can make that argument that he broke his collarbone. So maybe they will, like I said, go reach out to him or Tony Romo. They're both Wisconsin natives. So yeah. So we'll see. Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott's injunction was lifted, but the NFL Players Association filed for the restraining order to again block his suspension. So it looks like his defense team is on the offensive.
Yeah, maybe they are, but I'm just tired of it, man. Like, mm-hmm. Come on, bro. Like you had your chance to appeal. Mm-hmm. You lost. Why can't we just leave it at that? Serve your six games, dude.
Yeah.
Like your team is good enough, and Darren McFadden has shown in the past that he's good enough to have a 1,000-yard season, mm-hmm. On his own. Like, so, I mean, you guys supposedly have the greatest offensive line in football.
Yep.
So, bro, just sit it out. Bro, you could have sat out, and next week you would be playing. I don't know if they're on a bye week next week, but next week you could be playing, and all of this would be done.
Well, actually, they were on a bye week this week, and if he would have came... Actually, no, then he would have came back the week after. So the my Niners would still missed him, but they still might miss him now if the injunction is not lifted. But yeah, well, the I was reading the defense team to make these injunctions or whatever you call them. Like I said, I don't speak legalese. I never went to law school. But essentially what I read was his lawyers have to come up with a different argument or a different theory that wasn't presented before. That's why you can go through all these appeals processes. And yeah, you can make even with his situation, as we talked about before, you know, evidence was withheld. Roger Goodell didn't interview his, you know, his ex-girlfriend or the, you know, the accuser. Like, you know, let's be honest here, the NFL screwed up and didn't do a lot of things that you would think they would do to suspend him 6 games, regardless if it was the rule, the rule of law for the NFL now. But yeah, so that's why his, and obviously that's why you pay your lawyers. They're smart. You have to come up with a different angle to, you know, to get that injunction lifted so he can continue to play until it goes to the Supreme Court. Then, you know, all hell will break loose once it goes to the Supreme Court. Then that'll be interesting if he can even go that far.
Well, here's the thing that I find most interesting about this situation. The Dallas Cowboys are 2-3.
Yep.
They are 2-3. Dude, you should have just sat out the games because the Cowboys would probably still be 2-3.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he didn't help with Denver.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why create all this mess if your team is going to be sub-500 after 5 games? Like, it doesn't make any sense now, yeah. You know, in retrospect.
Yeah, you might as well just stayed out and came back, and maybe you would have been that spark to help him, you know, make the playoffs. Because the Eagles are obviously the team in the East, the NFC East. So they're, you know, now they're behind the eight ball. The Cowboys have to catch up. So, yeah, Zeke should just sat out. And like I said, it was just shady on both sides. Just, you know, the whole thing. But, you know, that's what you get with the NFLPA, with the collective bargaining agreement, and them show, you know, Goodell trying to have all that power. You know, like I said, half the country thinks he should never been suspended because he wasn't convicted, and the other half, you know, still thinks he should be suspended. I think he should be suspended because trouble follows the guy. 6 games, no, but he should be at least suspended, you know, 2 games. I think because he.
Well, okay. Whoa, Tiger Mike, because you used to be the half of the show that didn't think he should be suspended because there was no evidence.
No, I said I said he should be suspended 2 games because trouble follows him. I said by law he shouldn't be suspended, but there's evidence that follows the guy. He shouldn't be suspended for 6 games, but for all the other stuff, you know, pulls down a girl's shirt. He goes and, you know, he punches a guy at a nightclub, but it's cleaned up. Like I said, there's other things that he should be suspended for that there's evidence, more hard evidence of, versus, you know, the other accusations. He should still be suspended. And like I said, I don't condone any type of sexual battery, rape, but like I said, there was no, you know, evidence for that, and he was never convicted. But yeah, he should be suspended for the big picture, you know, at least 2 games.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, one of the things that I think we need to keep in mind, as disgusting or as silly as mm-hmm. you think this whole scenario is, a lot of these guys that have troubles early on in their career tend to kind of even out, man, as they get yeah. older. Like, you mm-hmm. think about Pac-Man Jones,
yep.
you think about Randy Moss, and even Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. Like, for some reason, those first couple of years they're in the league, they make some stupid decisions. They do things that are wrong, or at least are under the suspicion of doing things that were wrong. And then as their career goes on, they mellow out and
yeah.
they become, quote unquote, upstanding citizens of the NFL, you know?
Well, they finally grew up. Well, you know, they're 21, 22-year-old kids. I don't mean to sound patronizing if you're 21 or 22 as a listener, but yeah, you're not a... You're coming from a college mindset where you're treated like a celebrity, as even Zeke said. Yeah, I used to do drugs. I used to go out and party every night. Then you go to the NFL and it's magnified a million times more. You have all this money. You have all these people around you that are going to be leeches and want you to go do this. And then you want to be the center of attention. You want to go party, you know, do all these things, be seen with nice things. And yeah, unless you have, you know, people, your family or someone around you, which the Cowboys should have, they should have realized this, like, oh, this kid, you know, I'm not saying he's this personally, just from my perception, he's a diva. He likes to be, you know, he likes to party, he likes to have fun, and you should put people around him that can make sure he doesn't get in trouble and do stupid stuff that he does. Is like with any player, like with Dez Bryant, you know, they put like a life coach or a pastor or something around him, you know, that you know, brought him back down. Like, hey, you need to be an adult. You're a professional football player. You're in the, you know, the public eye, your kids role models. You need to start acting like it, not an immature, you know, athlete who thinks he can do, gets away with, you might've got away with things in the past, but now you can't do that. You're professional.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So hopefully that's the case where he finally grows up and becomes a man and, you know, asks for forgiveness, you know, admits his mistakes and just move on. Like I said, I think I've said this before, the public will be more forgiving if you admit your mistakes and show that you're trying to change like anyone else. Yeah, who's perfect? None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's true. Look at A-Rod, man.
Yeah.
He admitted his mistakes, still hate him, but, you know, he retired. And then he was working the pregame show for the World Series last year, you know?
Yeah. So like I said, he lost, he even admitted, I lost millions of dollars by doing it, but, you know, that shows his character. He shows high character that he, you know, yeah, I messed up. I'm sorry. And I'm moving on now. You know, I was young and dumb, as they say, and just made my mistakes, but now I'm trying to change that, trying to be a man. And that's how it should be.
That's right. Be a man. Zeke, be a man.
Be a man. All right, moving on to the Packers, and Rodgers breaks his collarbone. So he had 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and threw for 1,385 yards through, was it now 6 games?
Yeah, and I mean, you would even say like 5 games just because
because he
that
goes out.
First,
yeah.
I think maybe he had like a 10-yard completion or something like that, maybe 17 yards.
Yeah, so yeah, technically 5 games, but yeah. So how does that affect you fantasy-wise?
Here's how it affects me. At about, 4:30 on Sunday afternoon, I pretty much was ready to retire from fantasy football because I have Rodgers on 2 of my 4 head-to-head teams. Jameis Winston on one of the other 2 teams.
Yeah, and he got hurt.
Yeah. And he's day-to-day. There's no structural damage to his shoulder. So, Jameis Winston owners, you're safe, I think.
So far.
But you know what? Rodgers, I mean, I love the guy. I traded for him. I traded Philip Rivers and a first-round pick next year for Rodgers because I read that ESPN article about him. And I was like, I love this guy. I want him on my team.
Yeah.
Well, this is according to Ocean's 11, one of the first rules of poker is to leave your emotions at the door. Mm-hmm. all red.
Yeah,
oh, so like they, so don't ever do that. You know, don't draft a guy cause you like him cause you read an article about him.
Yeah.
But you know, Rodgers also happens to be a top 5 quarterback. So,
oh yeah. Well, I would have supported your decision to do that. Cause you know, Rodgers is the best quarterback in my opinion, in the league. And then it goes Brady second, but if you want to just go by play, and Rodgers has less around him, you can make that argument for the Packers. Yeah, I would have done the same thing if I was in your situation. I would have traded Rivers and a first round pick for, you know, but you didn't know he was going to get hurt. Yeah, that's always
yeah,
a
of course not.
Possibility. But so what about this question? Is Aaron Rodgers the next Tony Romo as the guy's not going to start getting hurt? He's in his close to mid-30s. He's 32, I think, or 33. So is Rodgers the next Tony Romo?
No, I don't think that Rodgers is because the injuries that he is suffering are not recurring injuries in the same part of his body. So for instance, like in 2013, he broke his collarbone, but that was on his left collarbone.
Yep,
this year he snaps the right one.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting about this play, man, is like he was rolling out.
Yep.
And Barr, the Minnesota linebacker,
demolished him.
Kind of, yeah. And it was one of those plays where you could just shove the guy, or you could pile drive him into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the guys would shove you, but this guy pile drove him into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's going to be the next Romo. I mean, when I think of Romo, I think of a really nice guy that everybody likes that fumbled a snap in a playoff game and never went to the Super Bowl when he probably should have.
Yep.
But you bring up a good question because we're in that generation of quarterbacks where the really good guys are starting to get older. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brady has proven that 32 isn't old, but definitely.
Well, he's closer
actually,
40. Yeah.
Yeah. Brady's proven that you can just pretty much be awesome until you're 40.
You just need TB12 depends.
Yeah.
as Zach would say.
So it's we'll see, man. Roger scrambles, but I think he's smart enough to know, like, as his career progresses, that he needs to stay home a little more and use his legs not to get yards, but just to get more time to pass downfield.
Well, yeah. Well, according to the rules, once you get out of the pocket, you are a runner, so the defense has the right to treat you as a runner.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, it's one of those situations where it's like, you know, somebody bumps into you, like, in the subway, and you can turn around and be like, you son of a mother effing, you know, or you can be like,
oh, excuse me.
Yeah, excuse me. And they say, I'm sorry. And you're like, okay, that's cool. Yeah. You know, like, neither one is right or wrong, I guess. It's just, there's a nice way to do it and a not so nice way to do it. And Barr chose the not so nice.
Well, how much money would you bet that since Rodgers got hurt, they're going to change that rule? Or if you see, it'd be hard to do because if you're, you know, your momentum is going towards you, but I think you can still control yourself. Now, if you see the quarterback release the ball, is you have to just push him or let off. You cannot tackle him like it did. I'm pretty sure that, like I said, all comes down to money. No one's going to want to watch the Packers anymore because, you know, Rodgers, they got Brett Hundley. Who wants to watch a third or fourth year backup play for the Packers when he could watch, you know, arguably the best quarterback in the league?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a good question, and it goes back to that money issue. I don't think you should be making – I think you should make rules to protect player safety.
Yep.
But I'm sure the owners are going to be like, look, you need to change this rule because what if that happens to Tom Brady? What if that happens to Carson Wentz?
Well, that was the Brady rule when they tore his ACL – or the Carson Palmer rule is you can't tackle while you're on the ground. You can't swipe at the legs. So I'll bet you this might be the discount double-check rule.
Yeah.
If the quarterback leaves the pocket and you see him release the ball, is you either back off or just push him to the ground. You cannot wrap him up. You cannot tackle him. So yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if they do that. I don't think they're going to go. I think their season's done. They're not going to go to the playoffs unless Brent Hundley is some, you know, he learned a lot the last 3 or 4 years or however long he's been in the league. Because the Vikings, even though they don't have Bradford, he's in and out. And then the Lions, even though they got killed, destroyed by the Saints, it's still a competitive division. The NFC North is still a competitive division.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't write off the Packers just yet, man. Hundley had an impressive preseason a couple of years ago. You could make the case that two of his three interceptions were just flukes. They were tip passes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, the one touchdown that he had to Davante Adams was pretty nice. Like, he moved around the pocket a little bit. I think he stepped up and he found the open man. So,
yeah.
I mean, one thing we know about the Packers is that they're well coached.
Oh, yeah. So, Mike McCarthy is one of the best
coaches
and game planners, you know, in the league. You know, actually, I read an article on him. He was a quarterback's coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. Who was his quarterback that he had a coach? Guess.
You got me, dude, because I know it's not Alex Smith because Alex Smith wasn't there.
No, this is back in the early 90s. He was the GOAT before, I'll give you hints, he was the GOAT before Tom Brady. He got traded from the 49ers to this team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Montana. Okay. Well, yes. Yes.
So I read this article that Montana taught him all this stuff about the West Coast offense because that's what they were running when he was one of the quarterback coaches at the Kansas City Chiefs at the time in the early 90s. So he just put all that together. And he just evolved with, you know, how the football, the game with college and stuff is he's, that's why the Packers are so good. Cause he's evolved, you know, with the game as it's gone on.
Oh yeah. And you know what, another thing to keep in mind here too, is how well Alex Jones is going to do, like in their backfield, the rookie running back who came in after Ty Montgomery got hurt. I mean, you know, if you have a running game that can get you 4 or 5 yards, that can set you up on like second and five, then that's a lot easier for your quarterback to manage, man. You know,
Hundley's manager. Yep.
Yeah. Hundley's not a rookie. You know, he's been in the league for 3 years and we've seen situations where a guy's on the bench and then he comes up because of injury.
Yeah.
And he does pretty well, you know, and some guys can handle that right away, like Big Ben. But other guys,
some players are,
come off the bench after a couple of years, you know, like Rodgers, man. Rodgers is a good example of that.
Yeah. He had to sit behind Brett Favre for, you know, 4 years. So, yeah, it took him. He learned the game. Since I'm a Niners fan, I have Niner friends that are fans or just Niner fans in general go, oh, if we would have drafted Aaron Rodgers First, we would be good. Like, no. You put him in the same situation, no offensive line, seven different offensive coordinators. Yeah, he wasn't developed at the time. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, let's be honest, man. Does anybody out there know how many more wins Aaron Rodgers has than Alex Smith? Or if he even has more wins than Alex Smith? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith is a winner.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, especially this year.
I mean, the shame on you, San Francisco, for letting him go, because he was a winning quarterback.
He was, yeah. But Harbaugh went with a hot hand. But if you look back, though, Alex Smith, when they played, when the Niners played the Falcons in that one NFC championship game back in, was it 2012/13, because it was in January, or my years mixed up. Well, whatever year it was, there's no way Alex Smith would have brought him back, because he's not, even though he's throwing it down the field now, he wasn't a down the field passer back then. So I don't think he would have brought, you know, them back. So I think in that situation, yeah, they should have let him go, but they're not going to pay a backup quarterback, you know, $10 million back then, because the salary cap wasn't as big. You know, you got this young up and coming, you know, Kaepernick, who's more exciting, who can throw the ball downfield. And well, look, he took them back against the Falcons, and even with the Super Bowl, like I said, I made that argument, or I said, I'm not a homer. If there wasn't that, you know, delay with the power going out, you know, during the Super Bowl, they were the Ravens would have killed him. But still, Kaepernick still brought them back. Alex Smith, I don't think physically could have done that, because any team he's been on, once they're behind too much, he can't throw 40, 50 times a game. He's more in the 25 to 35 range where he has to throw.
Yeah. So. No, that's a good point. He's like a more boring version of Joe Flacco, if that's possible.
Essentially, yeah, with a weaker arm, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, Flacco will just, you know, he'll throw the ball 45, 50 times a game. And
but it just doesn't work for him either.
Yeah.
Speaking of other quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans, he's balling. Yeah, I think he's leading the NFL with 15 touchdowns. He has 5 interceptions and 1,297 yards. So these rookie like I mentioned before, the rookie quarterbacks are doing pretty well. Mitchell Trubisky got his win against the Ravens. Speaking of Senor Placo, as the Filipinos would say it, there's no F, as Zach would probably say. We need to get hold of Zach sometime. I know he's busy. He's traveling on the southern part of the Filipino islands. I think he's in Cebu. He Facebook messaged me and said he was in Cebu. So they don't have good internet service out, Wi-Fi in Cebu. So once he gets back to his house, he said he'll give us a call. But he's looking forward to getting back. But beyond that, but that's neither here nor there. Trubisky is one. Kaiser is starting. And like I said, for the 49ers, C.J. Beathard out of Iowa replaced Brian Hoyer of the 49ers. And he did pretty well. He gave them a spark and almost brought them back against the Washington Redskins. So what do you think of these rookie quarterbacks doing well starting this early in the season?
I think that a lot of it for Deshaun has to do with his schedule. I mean, if you take a look at his last four games, he's had 15 touchdowns in his last four games, okay? Uh-huh. But two of those came against New England, who has one of the worst pass defenses in the league. Mm-hmm. Five of those came against Tennessee. I think that's the game that Mariota went down, but I'm not sure.
He didn't play one. I forget. Yeah, one,
two. And those games, Tennessee gets involved in some high scoring matchups.
Mm-hmm.
His stats at KC were basically just junk time stats.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're just throwing it up. Yeah, just chucking it. Hopefully, someone will catch it.
And then Cleveland. So, I'm skeptical that he'll be able to continue the pace, which means, hey, if you have Deshaun Watson and you need a running back or a wide receiver, make a trade. But I also know, like with history, man, like
yeah.
We mentioned this a couple weeks ago, like you have a lot of quarterback, like dual threat quarterbacks who do well in their
beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you had mentioned Dak Prescott, cause I had left him out, but I was talking about like, RG3 had a great rookie season, man.
Even Vince Young. Watson reminds me of Vince Young, just a more skinnier, athletic, more a little bit faster version of Vince Young. They run the same. Their throwing motion is the same. Well, yeah, it reminds me of him.
Yeah, and I mean, Tebow obviously didn't have the numbers that these guys do.
Nope.
But he was racking up the wins. Mm-hmm. So, a mobile quarterback's always like. They seem to do well their first season, but it's what they do in the seasons after that really kind of define the longevity of their career. So, yeah. I mean, look, Vince Young, gone. RG3, gone. Tebow, gone. You know?
Kaepernick, yep, gone. Well, the only successful, you maybe say dual threat, but see, it all comes to, I think we talked about this before, is you got to learn to play from the pocket. All the best quarterbacks now are pocket passers. Even Rodgers is a pocket passer. He's athletic, but you wouldn't call him a running quarterback. The only one that's maybe closer to a dual threat would be Russell Wilson, but it's he can play in the pocket and his offensive line sucks, so he has to run. He has to break the pocket and go. It's not like he just sees his first read. Oh crap, it's not there, so I gotta take off and go. No, he still looks down the field and just runs when he has to.
Well, yeah, think about the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks over the past like 10 years. Manning, I think Big Ben has one in there.
Mm-hmm. Eli,
Brady.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Eli.
Yep, Rodgers.
And then there's Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and Flacco. You know,
and Rodgers.
Yeah, and then Flacco, yeah. So, the only one is Russell Wilson, but you can still make the argument that he is a pocket passer. He's a dual threat, but he's still a pocket passer.
Well, yeah, and that's what, you know, that you look at a guy like a Rodgers mm-hmm. or a Wilson,
yep.
and these guys know, like, the key to being a runner isn't so much to get yards, but to extend the play, you know? Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's where a lot of these magical things happen.
They do, yeah. When it breaks down, you can use your legs, yeah, and extend the play, throw it downfield, or get that first down, or slide, yeah. That's how it should be. But until these dual-threat quarterbacks learn to play from the pocket, then, yeah, they're just going to be one-and-done type players. I'm curious to see if college programs, I was thinking about this the other day, if college programs will change their offenses, because what if these you know, quarterbacks, like these Elite 11 quarterbacks, have you seen that show yet, Elite 11, where they have those?
No.
It's an awesome show, but they might have it online too. You can watch it on YouTube. But yeah, if these elite quarterbacks are going to stop going to these programs that run these spread offenses, and I want to be prepared for the NFL, so I want to go to a college program that runs NFL style offenses. Obviously, it's not going to be exact NFL because the games are different, but have NFL reads, have more general NFL style offenses instead of these spread attacks that don't teach you the fundamentals of being a quarterback.
Well, yeah, and think about the best quarterbacks in the game, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
I mean, now, including Peyton Manning, Tennessee, Tom Brady, Michigan,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers, Cal,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
Like Matt Ryan, Boston College, yep. Russell Wilson, Wisconsin. Like, you know, like
North Carolina State, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, when was the last time a quarterback from Texas Tech or Oklahoma State had like a significant NFL career?
Yeah, none.
You know what I mean? Like,
none that I can think of. You can maybe make the argument Sam Bradford, but he's been injured and it took him a while to adapt to the NFL.
Yeah. And so, like, to me, I think you're exactly right, man. You get into these high-powered offenses in college. Yeah, I mean, sure, you could win a Heisman Trophy or you can make it to a BCS Bowl. But, I mean, really, the only quarterback right now that maybe has a chance at being decent is Patrick Mahomes, right?
Yeah, because he's
Texas A&M, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Texas Tech. Texas Tech. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which is a classic system offense and but I mean, who knows how he's going to do? He's a backup right now, and he just may be a total bust. Like, you never know.
Yeah, it was an air raid offense, just like Jared Goff came from Cal. It's the same type of offense. It's the air raid Mike Leach offense. So, yeah, so we'll see how, because I read an article that even Sean McVay had to put spread concepts, and that's what the Houston's coach is doing too, Bill O'Brien, is he's putting spread concepts in the passing game so that Watson would feel comfortable and even Jared Goff would feel comfortable so they can adapt and grow as an NFL quarterback instead of expecting to have them run the typical NFL passing routes.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see. All right, now moving on to baseball in the NLCS, the Cubs and Dodgers. Justin Turner, hit a walk-off three-run jack to win the game 4-1 over the Cubs. Same day, 29 years to the day, with Kurt Gibson, his walk-off home run. So what do you think about that?
I think that Turner had the better home run of the two. Uh-huh. You know, Gibson was kind of like this low, sweeping swing that made it out.
Beat up, yeah, I know. Yeah, I was like, this guy can't hit a ball.
Yeah. and that took on more of like a a heroic moment kind of a thing, you know, the wounded hero. But then Turner's was just a straight up man home run to center field. You know, it was, I mean, it was just awesome. And hey, a little shout out to that fan out there who snagged that ball, you know, like
that was crazy. Just
that
boom.
Guy's going to love that. Yeah.
So do you keep it? Do you keep the ball or do you give it to him?
Here's what happens, man. You keep it. If the Dodgers win the World Series, you keep it forever. Mm-hmm. If the Dodgers don't go to the World Series or they lose the World Series, then you sell it. Okay. That's what I say.
As you say. Well, what about the option where you can negotiate maybe free games for life or for some type of monetary value?
Well, that's when you got to come up with the leverage, man, because, hey, you know, what if they win the World Series?
Yeah,
and it's going to skyrocket. And they point back to, okay, so then you leverage that into free tickets for life or, you know, I mean, maybe you get Turner to trim all his beard hair after the World Series, and then that's yours, like, forever.
Yeah, make it like that? A wig. Yeah, a beard wig. Is that what they call those things? Like a fake beard? Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe you can get somebody to weave, like, your newborn's onesie out of Justin Turner's beard. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that'd be kind of itchy though. The baby be crying. Well, yeah.
It's great, man. But it's great magic, man. Yeah. It's great magic.
Now they're up 2-0. It looks like it's going to be, you know, them and the Houston Astros in the World Series. But you never know. Look at the Dodgers blew it last year.
So, yeah, they did.
So yeah, the Cubs always give them a run for their money. So maybe the Cubs will come out of hibernation and start playing ball, but they're not hitting, so yeah, we'll see. Last but not least, JR has an interesting story about Pat Perez, a golfer.
Okay, yes. So I love fantasy sports, and I dabbled in Yahoo Fantasy Golf this year, and so I went with the big names like Spieth and Rory McIlroy and Eyebrows Fowler and, like, you know, like just some of the big names. And then I see this guy, Pat Perez, and I'm like, I would never put a guy on my team whose name Pat Perez. That's an old man name, right?
Yeah,
I didn't really know who he was. So golf season, you know, is kicked off, and this guy, Pat Perez, wins this TPC event in Malaysia, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a tough course. I believe he scored in the 20s, beat Keegan Bradley by 4 strokes. I'm like, well, who is this guy, right?
Wow.
Okay, so this is classic. The reason I like this is because it's so, like, anti today's athlete who is like a finely tuned robot humanoid machine, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everything is just calculated, diet, all that stuff. Okay, yep. So this is what they say. Like, basically, in this article, you're gathering the reporter has said, so Pat, like, are you going to change any of your habits now that you've won? You know, he's won before, but he's been on the tour for a long time. He's like 41 years old. And so this is what he says. He says, I'm not going to change anything. I'm still not going to work out. I'm still going to have a bad diet, and I'm going to enjoy myself, right?
Wow.
I mean, I love that. It's like John Daly kind of stuff, but just less greasy and dirty, I guess. But on that note, okay, so I was reading more about this guy, and one of his golfing buddies says, like, he walks outside one night and he finds Pat Perez sleeping in a car in his driveway with a bunch of hookers piled in the car, all passed out in his driveway. And I'm like, man, okay, this sounds like a 1970s NFL football player kind of a guy, you know? Mm-hmm. So I see that stuff, and I think to myself, you know, there's still some guys out there who don't take themselves too seriously and who have a good time. And okay, so hookers are not my thing, but still, they kind of have like these rough edges to them that remind you that some of these, I don't know what you would call them. I wouldn't say like a good old boy, but just a guy who says, I don't like to work out and I like to eat bad food.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of good at golf, so I'm just going to keep doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's just a savage, rugged guy. Yeah. He's just one of the, or you can also make the example of Babe Ruth. That guy just drank beer and ate hot dogs and, you know, not the most healthy food, but he was at the time the best baseball player.
Oh yeah, of course. That's like that banner that they held up in PNC Park that said, Babe did it on beer, Hank did it on class, Barry did it on, you know, question mark. So I always like kind of those old throwback players, not like from a moral perspective, not being womanizers and, you know, what have you, but just kind of that, like, I woke up this morning, I rolled out of bed, I had a Filet-O-Fish, and then I went and won this golf tournament.
With my moppy hair, bedhead hair. Yeah.
Yeah, so check him out. That's our throwback athlete of the week, mm-hmm. Pat Perez.
Pat Perez. Okay, so we'll add that. Yeah, Pat Perez. That's very interesting. That's crazy.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Ken Griffey Jr. You know, like early on.
Yeah,
when he got endless weights. Didn't mm-hmm. really like it.
Yep.
And was just a beautiful player.
Mm-hmm. Said that the kid Griffey the kid.
Yeah.
So what you got going on this week?
This week I'm working, as most of us are, mm-hmm. and I'm looking forward to some cold weather, man. And it's supposed to be in the low 70s tomorrow and Wednesday in Jacksonville.
Nice.
Right? I mean, that's pretty much the signals, the beginning of fall in mm-hmm. Florida. It's in the 70s.
In the 70s. Yeah, it's kind of like that here in Phoenix. I went down to Tucson to visit my aunt. Her granddaughter's having a daughter, so that makes her a great-grandmother. So, yeah, it was actually 92 there, so still kind of warm. But it was still warm when I came back. But, yeah, here in Phoenix, when it starts getting down the low 80s, that's when you know the weather's a-changing.
Yeah. So, and what's ahead for you, Tiger Mike?
This week, what do I got going this week? I got the gym. I might start taking some salsa dancing, not classes, but going to these like group things. They offer lessons, but it's more of like they teach you salsa, but you can salsa dance. So think about maybe doing that. Still looking for a car. I've been shopping around since it's getting towards the end of the month. So we'll see if I can get a lease a new car. So see if I can find a deal.
All right.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks for joining me once again. It's always great to talk to you and talk sports.
Yeah, my pleasure as always, Tiger Mike.
Yes. And for you listeners, thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review us so the podcast can get out and other people can hear our shenanigans and our how good or bad we are. Like I said, if you leave us comments, be brutal, be brutally honest. This is your time to be anonymous. And if you don't like me, to my listeners, you can talk whatever you want. I won't know who it is.
There you go, man.
Yeah.
There you go.
So leave us your comments. All right, so we will see you guys next week. Have a good one. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Tiger Mike Sports Show podcast. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. Help support the show at patreon.com/TigerMikeSportsShow. For more episodes, articles, sports news, and all of our social media info, check out our website, TigerMikeSportsShow.com. We'll see you, same Tiger time, same Tiger channel.